And what a beautiful time to be in Michigan, amen? Beautiful weather, beautiful opportunities. Even people seem maybe a little happier, so that's a good thing. But we want to still be good testimonies for Christ. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you are able, I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me. We're going to read verses 1 to verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to verse number 6. We'll read that responsively. I'll read verse 1, you verse 2, please. And then back and forth, verse 6 is where we'll stop. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 1 says this. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self.
For I know nothing myself.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Let's stop right there. Did I read your verse or did I read my verse? I couldn't tell. Okay, I was right. Great. Verse 6, go ahead. Sorry about that. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Appreciate your prayers. As you can tell, it's a little difficult for me to talk right now. So whatever that's going on, I appreciate your prayers that that passes quickly. Notice verse number 1 with me again. Verse number 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The phrase we want to consider this morning is, let a man so account of us. Have you ever made a poor investment? Or bought something that you said, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. Or I wish I hadn't have put some finances towards that. A financial advisor made a dreaded call to his client. He said, I have bad news and I have worse news, he said. Which would you like to hear first? The bad news, the client said. Well, in 24 hours, all your money will be gone. Oh, no, the client said. So what's the worst news? Well, the advisor said, I should have made this call yesterday. You know, sometimes investments don't always turn out. Investing literally means to clothe or to adorn, to put wrap around so that it can be encased in. The Apostle Paul here exhorts believers, we can apply it this way, to have our Christian walk adorned for God. That the things that he wants is clearly seen and clearly part of our walk with Jesus Christ. Adorned before God and before men. The word account there means to reckon, to consider. Would you consider this? That others would account of us, they could see the investments we are making for God. I'd like to share with you this morning, investments for the Christian account. Investments for the Christian account. Before we go any further, we'll ask God to help us and we'll see what he has to say later on. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your love. Lord, thank you that we can meet in your house, Lord, and we can gather together around your word. Now we ask the Holy Spirit would have freedom, dear Lord. We've got the truth in front of us. We need the Holy Spirit's voice and your guidance, Lord. And Father, show us what we need to do. Perhaps there, Lord, is a soul who simply needs to receive Christ as Savior. The investment needs to start by getting an account, and that is receiving the Lord Jesus and what he's done on the cross for them. Oh God, if that's a need to hear today, or those that are listening, I pray this would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, as a believer in Christ, There's still many things that need to be added to our Christian life so that we can be more like Christ even today. Now would you show us, Lord, what do we need to do so that we can please the Savior? Perhaps there's things that need to be taken and shed so that you can have the glory in our life even today. Either way, Lord, we ask that you be magnified in all that's said and done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Investments for the Christian account. The Bible tells us here, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Number one, invest in serving others just as Jesus would. Invest in serving others just as Jesus would. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, it says. Not the ministers of the other disciples or those that we look up to, but the ministers of Christ. The minister serves as a helper. That's what minister means. The word here means literally the under rower. Not the one just doing the work, but the one who's doing the extra work so that the ship can continue to move. It describes the slave rowers at the lower level of the ships that they would have used in the Roman Empire at the time, and any subordinate or assistance that would be given. Are we willing to be a helper like that? Are we willing to say, no, we'll do anything, Lord, if that's what you want. We're willing to do it all. Turn with me, if you would, Luke chapter 4. This particular position is illustrated in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus went back to his hometown. And he was asked to go ahead and share, as many rabbis were, if they visited their hometown, share at the synagogue things of God or read the scriptures at the time. That's what he was doing. Luke chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number. Let me start in verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's what he did. Now notice this. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the who? Minister. This was not the chief priest, the chief rabbi in the synagogue. This was the guy whose job it was to basically take the rolls, the scrolls, and move them to where they needed to be. That was his ministry in the church. Seems like a small thing. In fact, if you weren't really paying attention, you probably wouldn't even notice the guy. But I think it's interesting that God and his word put him there. Could you imagine being that guy? Wow, you just heard the voice of God and directly speak to the congregation. Verse 21 finishes up the context. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." The minister serves as a helper. The minister is willing to do the lowest task. Again, go back to 1 Corinthians, please. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Could someone count on you to do that? Physical limitations sometimes come into play, but certainly a willingness all of us could have. Lord, what do you want me to do? Instead of just heating up the pews, what do you want me to do, Lord? Put me to work to do something for you. Invest in serving others as Jesus Christ would. Number two, again, verse number one goes on to say, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Number two, invest in the stewardship of God's truth. The stewardship of God's truth. A steward was one who oversaw a particular household or managed an estate. They were given the authority. They were given all the freedom to make decisions based on what they believed the owner would want them to do. It was not their will. It was the will of the owner that they were supposed to be looking out for, and with the idea of increasing or continuing to maintain the estate. God says he wants you and I to invest in stewarding his word. How do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, there's printing presses today, there's publishers, there's all kinds of ways that the Word of God has continued to be preserved. How do we do that? Can I tell you this? The number one way is to have it in your own life regularly. If tomorrow you wake up and the next day and the next day and praise God, we're in God's house today looking at his Word, but the next couple of days this thing sits on the shelf, you're not being a very faithful steward. It's a daily time with God. The word mystery there, he says, let us a man, a stewards of the mysteries of God. Mystery in the New Testament was this. It was a mystery, meaning it was concealed in the Old Testament. They did not understand it. They did not see necessarily what it meant. But in the New Testament, it was revealed. What were the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Two things specifically. Number one, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth, and God himself shared the words of God and opened them up to the people. But secondly, if you receive Christ as your Savior, who else does he send to you? The Holy Spirit. God's very Spirit dwells in the believer today. That was not the case in the Old Testament. There were times when the Spirit of God came upon individuals, but that was for a temporary time and usually, always that I could see, for a specific purpose that God had at the time. But God has given you a great opportunity, and that is to know his word and to keep it and to continue to use it for his glory. Let me give you a couple thoughts on this. A good steward knows the instructions specifically of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And look at verse number 33. A good steward knows the instructions of Jesus. Verse number 33 to verse 35. Would you read those with me? Let's go ahead and read those together. John 13, 33 to 35. Let's begin. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Seems pretty clear to me, doesn't it you? He didn't mince words. He said, this is what I want you to do. And lest we think that only the Gospel of John is where this is found, you can go to other passages in the epistles, as well as the end of the scriptures in James and so forth, and read about what we call, what God calls the royal law. This is how we are to behave with one another. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John talks about it all through its books. When Jesus said, I want you to follow my commands, he didn't say just any command. He said, this is one I want you to do so that the world can tell you are my disciples. You are my disciples. Now, let me ask you this. Is it easy to love other Christians? Well, when they're nice to you, it's easy, isn't it? Is it easy to love you? I'm a nice guy, but not always. Not always. You know why Jesus commanded us to do this? Because we wouldn't do it on our own. This is something Jesus said, I want you to do. Because the world needs to see what it is to follow me. He said, love one another, how? As I have loved you. Wow. Wow. And friends, that's a lifelong challenge. But God in his grace helps us do it if you decide you want to be a good steward for him. A good steward knows the instructions of Jesus, and a good steward obeys the instructions of Jesus. John chapter 15, let's go there. If you're like me, then you're saying, I can't do that for some people. So guess what? Jesus knew that. So what did he do? John 15, take a look, verse number 9. Verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What did Jesus do? He said, listen, here's how you can get this job done. If you abide in me. If you call on me as your Savior, I will abide with you, but you need to abide with me. You need to dwell with me. He says a couple things about that. Keeping his commandments, verse number 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. These things have I spoken unto you that your joy might remain. I think times in prayer with the Lord includes that. Certainly surrender to the Lord Jesus. That's all included in abiding in him. A good steward obeys the instructions of Jesus. You can have the greatest plan on earth, but if you don't do it, it's not worth anything. It's not going to help you or anybody else if you don't follow it. Invest in the stewardship of God's truth. Number 3. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. We're talking about the things that God desires for our Christian walk to be wrapped around in, serving others as Jesus would, being a steward that would honor and please him. And then number 3, invest in being faithful to what God has for you. Invest in being faithful to what God has for you. Moreover, verse 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is not just something that's important to be a good steward. The Bible says it is required. Required. Continuing and doing what we know is right. Faithfulness is completing the master's orders. Are you married today? Are you a parent today? Have you been a child or still are? Are you a sibling? Are you a Christian? Have you had work or do have work that you have to do, a place or a particular task to do? Here's what God says, be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful to him. Be faithful to things that God's put in your life to do. Faithfulness is completing the master's orders. Here's something to keep in mind when we strive to be faithful. Better is the end of a thing than what? The beginning thereof, Ecclesiastes 7:8. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You don't get the job done without a little bit of patience. A little bit of patience. How many have ever had a tire go flat on them? I think if you've owned a car, truck, semi, I don't care what it is, sooner or later, tire's going to go flat. And you have to change it. Maybe you have others who can help do that, but whoever's doing the job, it's no fun changing a tire. I have found, at least for me personally, you have to have some patience because inevitably one of those lug nuts is going to be harder than all the rest. How many know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's rusted on there. I don't know. And then on the worst day, when you put that wrench on that lug nut to get it off and you're like, man, this ain't going. So I know what I'll do. I'm going to jump on it. Put it here and you take the leap. And then the lug nut comes off with the bolt inside of it. How many have ever had that? Oh man, that's a terrible thing. Patience, patience. There's better ways to get it done besides breaking it. But God says he wants you as a faithful steward to exercise and realize that the end of the thing is better than the beginning. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is completing. Faithfulness is possible by using the master's methods. What are some of those? Number 1, the Bible is the guidebook for his methods. Psalm 119, 106 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Someone asked if power went out on Friday. How many remember that? Did that happen to you at your place? Yeah, here in Eaton Rapids it did. You've had power go out before, and if you had it go out at night, it's amazing what your town looks like after that. Nothing. It's as if nothing's there. You know, it's so black out. But this was normal for people back in the times of the Lord. If there was no lamps on and everybody had gone to bed and so forth, there was no light to see. You could stumble easily from one end of the room to the other. And God says, as a lamp would light up the path, every step that we might take, so is God's word to your life. It is the guidebook that he has given us to follow. And by the way, follow every step. On April 13th, 1970, the space mission Apollo 13, how many have ever heard of this? You probably have. It became a flight for survival. 2 days into their 10-day mission, an explosion caused all of their oxygen storage tanks to empty, which included water and some electrical equipment, as well as propulsion systems. They were all compromised. Carbon dioxide was building in the capsule, and the astronauts were running out of breathable air. NASA engineers devised a way to use a square carbon dioxide filter to fit into a round ventilation hole. The astronauts called the device the mailbox. It took 19 steps to build the mailbox using materials in the spacecraft. Their survival depended on following those steps in order. If they went one out of the other, they would have to start again and perhaps not have enough to finish. The crew safely returned to Earth on April 17th, 5 days before they were supposed to. Some of you might remember that. I wasn't here when that happened, but certainly history and so forth has shown the dramatic time that was for our country. But something interesting is that if they had missed one step or took it out of turn, things could have ended much differently for them. You know, your spiritual walk is important, amen? It leads your life where you go. Let the Bible make it your guidebook for your life. Prayer is the believer's connection to God's throne. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer. Christ's likeness is the daily goal. Luke chapter 9, would you go there, please? Luke chapter 9. To see the benefits of these things that God has given us, it requires a faithfulness, a continuing doing with his help. Luke chapter 9, look at verse number 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily, and follow me. Christ's likeness is the daily goal. To follow Christ is something we should wake up in the morning desiring to do or planning to do and ask his help to accomplish it. It is the daily goal. Is it your goal today? Can I share with you, being in church, that's part of his plan for you, amen? God wants you to gather together in his house with others who know him or desire to know him and hear the word of God, to share in praise and honor to him and our singing and fellowship. God wants to see those things happen. You made a great decision to be here. But guess what? Tomorrow is a new day. Tonight, we're going to have service tonight. I really encourage you to come tonight. We're going to consider some of the things going on in the world today. How many know what's going on in Israel today? You know, they thwarted off all those rockets, but let me tell you something, Iran's got more. You think they emptied out their coffers? No. And worse could be coming. How do we respond to that? What is it that God would have us to do in these troubling days? That's tonight. That's a teaser. Come on back and join us for that. But today, Christ's likeness is the daily goal. Sharing the Savior is the need of the hour. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2 says this, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The Bible tells us that sharing the Savior is the need of the hour. You know what I think would happen would happen if our president, all his cabinet members, and all the Congress and Senate would come out publicly and say, "Guess what? Someone shared a great message about Jesus Christ with us, and we saw the need to get saved, and we called on him for salvation. Today, we want to give our country back to God." How many would be happy about that? Wow. How many think that's going to happen today? I don't either. But if it did, let me ask you this. Would America be different? Absolutely, they would. Absolutely, we would. The things and decisions that would be made would be different. Because what do you want, Lord? Instead of some other political group or some financial group that's trying to influence decisions, whatever it might be, do you know salvation changes a life? Not just for eternity, but for now. It changes the life. Faithfulness. Invest in being faithful to what God has for you. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 4, verse 5. "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." Number 4, invest in discerning what's temporal or eternal. Invest in discerning what's temporal or eternal. "Therefore judge nothing before the time." And then he says, "until the Lord come." The word judgment here means discernment, examination, appraisal, put a value on it. Here in this passage, the context of it to the Corinthian church was this. Paul is calling the church back to Jesus. He said, remember who your ultimate judge is, who's the one who values you, who discerns the hearts of men. He said, you've forgotten that. Some of you said, I'm of Paul, I'm with this guy. Some of you said, I'm with Apollos, and others said, well, I'm not with anybody, I'm just here, or whatever the case may be. The Apostle Paul says, don't forget who you're with. You're for Jesus here. You're for Jesus. And he calls him back in this particular passage. As it applied for us today, consider investing in discerning what's temporal or eternal. Notice again here verse 3. "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self." The appraisal of men may affect our present, but not our eternity. May affect our present, but not our eternity. This is putting ourselves under the supreme judge of Jesus Christ. He says later on in 1 Corinthians, "Lest I myself should become a castaway." If I choose to do my own thing and not surrender and subordinate to Jesus, I may very well lose the ministry that he has called me to. He says, Paul's conscience, he says, "My conscience is clear, but the final judgment rests with the Lord. I know nothing by myself. I can't see anything particularly in my life, but I am not justified by me. I'm justified by the Lord. I'm judged of him." The appraisal of men may affect our present, but not our eternity. The appraisal of Jesus Christ, however, affects eternity. You say, wait a minute, I'm saved. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Guess what? Jesus isn't done with you yet. How many knew that? He's not done with you. Not in this life or when we step in to eternity. Turn with me, if you would, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're going to look starting at verse number 10 of Romans 14. I believe basically Paul is telling the Corinthian church, we should not fear men like we fear God. Something should be different when we look to the Lord. Not in a terrified way, but in a way that He's the ultimate authority. He's the supreme discerner and judge. Look at verse number 10 of Romans 14. This speaks of a future day for you, if you know Christ, with Jesus. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give what? Account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. This is not the Corinthian church. This is the church at Rome. It is, in essence, since it's in the Word of God, it's for our church today too. Amen. When God has inspired His Word, it's for all of us. He says, listen, we start getting ourselves in the judgment seat. We need to consider whose seat we're trying to take. God has put your judgment, Christian, in the hands of Jesus. Is He a better judge than you? I think so. And He does not need to intimidate to be the judge. He simply has the position already and has earned it in our life. Invest in discerning what's temporal or eternal. How's your investments today? How's your investments? Jesus Christ makes that final assessment. Now notice what He assesses. Let's go to 1 Corinthians again. Notice what Jesus is going to judge specifically. Verse number 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. The appraisal. Invest in discerning what's temporal or eternal. How's your investing going today? Christian, how's your investing going today? What is wrapped around your life that others can see, but is an honor and glory to the Lord God and the Lord Jesus? How many know who Patch the Pirate was? Patch the Pirate. Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton was his real name, and he's with the Lord now. I think it was last year when he passed away. Somebody might know better. It was recent. And he had gotten cancer in one eye and had to be removed. That's what the name Patch came from, one of the kids in his church, as he was wearing a patch preparing and healing that particular eye. There is another man, loves the Lord, and I thought he was with the Lord too, but he's still alive apparently, who wears a patch, and he's an evangelist named Steve Piggott. How many have ever heard of Steve Piggott besides my wife? When I was in Bible college, my very first year, every year we would start the year out with a week of evangelistic revival meetings and so forth. So a preacher was called in to preach, much like we have had at our church too. And one year, that first year, the evangelist that came was Steve Piggott. Steve Piggott had a very similar story. His eye, I forget how it injured, but it was injured, had to be removed, and he wore a patch over his eye too. As a matter of fact, I thought, cool, Patch the Pirates preached it. No, it was a different guy. But love the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I don't remember a single message Steve Piggott preached that week. But in the Bible that I had at the time, which I still have today, he said something that caught my attention. Whatever it was, whatever passage he was preaching, I couldn't tell you today, but I wrote down what he said. He said this, God's plan works. And he's looking for someone to work his plan. Would you be willing to invest in what God has for you? What God says he'll do through you if you simply take him at his word. His plan works. Amen. His plan works. It works in your family. It works at your job. It works in our church. It works in our neighborhood. God's plan works. Amen? Would you make a decision to follow His plan then? Heavenly Father, show us what we need to invest in right now. God, we've seen some great things, or perhaps there's many things we could rejoice with You over, but yet there's an area You've shown us, Lord, from Your Word. This has got to change. We want to see it happen right now. Would You help us? Would You help us? There is an account, and we want to make it pleasing to Thee. I ask for Your help during this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask a question or two this morning, please. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can I ask you, first of all, do you have an account with God, with Jesus Christ? Have you received Him as your Savior? Friend, if that's your testimony today, could I ask you, would you raise your hand with me and say, yes, absolutely, I know the Lord is my Savior. Amen. All across the room. Thank you. And Christian, let me ask you this. Has God shown you there's an investment, there's an area, whether it's what we looked at here this morning or something else, God's been showing you it's time to take that on. It's time to adorn that in your life. Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to me. Anyone like that this morning? Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Pray for me. God's speaking to me today. Amen. Yes. One more question. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You've not received Him as your Savior. There's an account waiting for you, and it's the best. It's a new life in Jesus Christ. Pastor, pray for me. I've not done that, but I want to do that today. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I'd sure like to pray that that can be settled today, that your new and eternal life starts right now. Anybody like that? Pray for me. Pray for me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand, please? I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song that we'll sing. If God's spoken to you, and some of us said He has, would you respond to Him as the organ begins to play? You can do it there in your seat, or you can make it a big deal and step out and ask God at the front, Lord, would You help me with this? I want to take that on and honor You in my life. Whatever the Lord's leading, would you respond as she begins to play?